Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the help which Thou hast made available for us. We can come to Thee in our need, and we can look to Thee and call upon Thee. And whatever our individual personal need is, Thou art able to do more exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We thank Thee for it. And now, our Father, as we study Thy Word, we pray that Thou wilt lead us and help us in our thinking, that we may see the things of Christ and grow thereby. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. In the Gospel according to Matthew, in the 20th chapter, as it come to the end of the chapter, there is a simple incident repeated here for us to look at that brings something to our minds that will continue to give us courage again and again and again. When I say it is repeated here, I mean it's the kind of thing that you saw in chapters 8 and 9. A work of wonder by the Lord Jesus Christ, commonly called a miracle. And so many of the things that were miracles were put there that you're rather surprised to meet it here. And they were on their way now to Jerusalem. And he had just been teaching his disciples important things about what it meant to belong to him. He had been opening their understanding that they might see what would be involved if they were in the church and were actually walking with him. And so as they depart from Jericho, we read in Matthew chapter 20, verse 29, as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed them. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they had heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried out the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. This is the story. In itself, it seems very simple. And yet I think it has some aspects about it that is more than just simple. We can feel are really very profound. And by the way, if you have been following along in this, you will know that just prior to this in the Gospel according to Matthew in the 20th chapter, just before this in verses 20 to 28, we had a case of where a request made to the Lord Jesus Christ was not granted. It was denied. Now, the Lord Jesus went about among people doing good, and many people asked him for many things, and you see again and again and again they got what they came for. But in that portion of the book of Matthew, in chapter 20, verses 20 to 28, you have a request made that was not granted. And now, right following in verses 29 to 34, you have a request that is granted. Now let us look a little bit more closely. The request that was not granted was when the mother of James and John asked that James and John be given special privilege and be put in a special place. It was a request for eminence by being put there, and that was denied. They didn't get that. They were treated all the way through as though they should never have asked for anything like that. They should have been willing to be servants and let it go at that. Now, following this, as he is moving on toward Jerusalem, and a large crowd of people is there, two men are crying out, "Lord Jesus, thou art, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." This is their cry. And they request help. As you know, they wanted help for their eyesight. And it was granted. When you look at it a little bit even more closely, you'll see that there is something underneath there that is very instructive to us. "Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not." when James and John, through their mother, were actually clamoring for a place of prestige, they didn't get it. But when these other two men were crying out for eyesight to see, they got it. Now look again at this. Apparently, a position of prestige would have no particular value to anybody. It would be just something you'd enjoy. But eyesight, that you could actually see to get around, would make you more useful. And as you look at that, you will see that the request of James and John that they be given high prestige had no real service value. It really wasn't anything that would in any way bless anybody else but their own feeling of importance. But when these blind men were asking for vision, they wanted something practical, something that would actually make them more useful as human beings, as well as increase their own blessing as they would go along in it. Now notice a little bit more closely the way this unfolded. When they cried out, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And by the way, in the second verse after that said the same thing. "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Apparently they said this over and over and over again. When they called him Lord, that in itself might not be too significant considering the way in which they would speak of masters, teachers, in that capacity. But when they said, "Thou son of David," that showed that these two men were oriented in the Old Testament. When they called, they said, "Lord, thou son of David," they were invoking, if you will, all the Old Testament significance. And they understood that this was the one of whom the prophets had spoken, that Moses and the prophets had spoken. And so when they were calling to him, they were expecting it. They were expecting help because he was the son of David. They were expecting help because he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. And so they were calling on him on that way. And by the way, there is something for you and me to understand when it comes to praying. Now look at it for a moment. If you and I are asking the Lord for something, who are we going to talk to? Notice that they did not say, "Jesus of Nazareth, come to and help us." They said, "Thou son of David, come and help us." Now, the same person. Yes, the same person, but not exactly the same. Jesus of Nazareth would have been his human aspect and nature. Thou son of David would be his relationship with God involved, and his relationship with the promises of God. And this comes to us with reference to prayer. When you and I are thinking of prayer, let us be careful in praying that we do not stop with thinking of Jesus of Nazareth. We're not praying to the babe of Bethlehem, if you will. We are not praying to the man who lived and walked in Galilee, really. We are praying to the one who is at the right hand of God. We're praying to the one who has been raised from the dead. If you and I pray to the one who is in the presence of God now, we have a stronger confidence in the result. He's not going to bless us because he's a good man. He's going to bless us because he's the Son of God. And they said, "Thou Son of God, thou Son of David, have mercy on us." After he had noted them, the people tried to keep them quiet, but they kept on calling out. The Lord Jesus heard them. He stopped, stood still, called them, and then asked them this question. "What will you that I do unto you?" Now they had just said, "Have mercy on us." But he said, "What do you want?" Here the emphasis seems to be on being specific in prayer. For instance, you will pray, "Lord, bless my family." And he will ask you, "How? In what way? What do you want?" A man may say, "Lord, bless me in my life." The Lord Jesus will say, "In what way? What's your problem? What do you need at this time? What will you that I do unto you? Name it." Because, you see, when you name it, you put your finger specifically on what you want. That calls for more faith on your part. In a general way, for me to say, "Oh, Lord, bless me," is very important as far as it goes. It sounds good, but it isn't very specific. I haven't risked anything specially when I raise that question. But when I ask him to do something for me, that's a different thing. And that's what happens here. What will you that I do unto you? And they said, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. I don't want to make too much of that, but I think I ought to make this much of it, that it was the very thing that they put their finger on that he blessed. It was the very point at which they focused attention that he came to do, that our eyes may be opened. Then he had compassion on them, because truly they were blind, and he touched them. He touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. No question about the consequence, as far as that was concerned. And they followed him. Well, now, that wasn't brought up until now, was it? That wasn't said at the beginning. These men apparently hadn't been going anywhere. They were apparently seated by the wayside. Behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. These blind men hadn't come that day expecting to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, so far as we know. These blind men were in their blindness. And I expect when people are in their blindness, there isn't much else. And so we are in our weakness. If you and I are suffering from any weakness of any particular kind, that's about the main thing we've got, is our weakness. If you and I are suffering because of some limitation, that limitation covers everything else and is probably the whole business. Certainly, there is no evidence that these men were intending to follow him. They were just sitting by the wayside. And when he came by and they heard about it, they heard that Jesus of Nazareth came, they called. And their first call to him was, "Thou son of David, you're the one that could. You're the one the Old Testament promises have been about." And then he said, "What? What is it that you want?" "Our eyes." So he touched their eyes, and they came seeing. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand this more and more, that we can see that help is possible in answer to prayer. But, O Lord, give us the grace, first, to lift up our eyes to Thee and see Thee in heaven, and know that it is the Son of God we're talking to. And then, our Father, we pray that Thou will give us the grace to think closely and specifically and realistically about what we actually need, that we might ask for these things for Thy name's sake. Amen.